Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Hey there, everyone. It's Thursday, the 3rd of October, 2012. And obviously, this is Left, Right, and You. You're either listening on the podcast or listening on the radio right now. I don't know if you're in your cubicle or if you're stuck in your car, but this is Alan Skillicorn in the very nice flowery shirt, very springtime-esque as Jeff Ward.
That's right. It is a nice, fine spring day with April showers.
Definitely. Even a little humidity now that the sun is coming out.
Well, yeah, I can do without that. Let's get on with fall. Let's have it warm or let's have it cold.
Well, you know, the leaves are changing.
Just like Republicans.
Just outside of Chicago, the leaves are changing here in October. Mm-hmm. So it's shaping up to be pretty. Hopefully we don't have like a big thunderstorm knock all those leaves off before we get to enjoy them. But, you know, give people an idea. I mean, we are here. I'm the conservative. Jeff Ward's the leftist.
That's right.
And you can look us up on, what's your website, Jeff?
Thefirstward.net.
All and you've got
are you
podcasts
a leftist
there?
Or a communist? That's what I want to know.
Both.
Okay, just want to clarify that.
Jeff's got podcasts there. I think he's writing some liberal nonsense book.
I am getting
coming
back
up
to the book. Yes, absolutely. I mean, the Republicans are inspiring me once again.
And then you can head on over to alanskillicorn.com. Obviously, I'm right of center, so there's a whole bunch of articles on there. I also lean a little bit libertarian, so there's a little bit of that on that website too. And I even have a poll for governor in Illinois. So just so everyone is knows a little bit of an update, you can go to my website and vote in that poll. But to give an update, Joe Walsh is leading the polling right now. But second is Dan Rutherford.
And Dan Rutherford is going to win, of course. We've already called it right here on the show.
Not according to my poll.
Well,
but people can go to alanskillicorn.com.
The poll is that Joe isn't running for governor.
Hey, there's a few guys in there that aren't running for governor either that are still in there. I mean, because Bill Daley's in there.
Alan, are you running? For governor?
Silence.
Well, that would be fascinating.
But we want to have a guest, and we want to jump over to guests.
Who would want to be on our show?
Well, we've had a lot of great guests.
Oh, okay.
And what's interesting is that we try to do both sides of perspective. And, today's guest is, he isn't going to be a Democrat or Republican. This guy is just a guy that is interested in taxes.
He is.
And he is, his Jim Tobin from National Taxpayers United.
Well, let's see, he founded it. He's the founder.
Well, we can let him explain that.
Right, and one of the fascinating things is Jim has been at this since 1976. Nobody knew what a Tea Partier was back then.
And he's been on
and
the
now
phone
we
since
wish
1983.
But, is Jim, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. Why don't you tell the folks a little about yourself, Taxpayers United?
Yes, I founded Taxpayers United of America in 1976, and we've become one of the largest taxpayer groups in the country. And most recently, we've been releasing pensions around the country in, up to 19 states now. We go in those states and release the names and the amounts of the first top pensioners. For example, in Illinois, there are 9,900 retired government employees getting over $100,000 a year in pension payments, each one of them.
And next year, that's going to be $103,000 each.
Yeah, they double the pension payments every 24 years. Of course, they retire at their 50s. I have here a list of the folks who retired in Kane and Kendall County from the schools, and they all retired in their 50s. So, in 24 years, their pensions are doubled. We have a fellow here from District 300 who retired at the age of 55 and collects an annual pension of $225,000. His estimated lifetime pension payout is $8 million because he's expected to live to be 85, and he only paid 2.2% for his contribution.
Jim, that's not life expectation. 85, that's a bit high.
Well, I mean, you're in your 50s. Your average life expectancy is 85, according to according to my sources, IRS. We know that.
Yeah, and to give an idea on those numbers, I think average is, what, 76 for a man, 78 for a female, but that also includes child time, early childhood deaths and things like that.
Jim clarified.
Once you're in your 50s, your average life expectancy is 85.
That's definitely the case. And with these public workers, we have a lot of people that work 30 years yet have 60 or 70 years worth of pension. You know, we actually pay them for 60 or 70 years.
And I covered this. Chris Lausen, our county chairman, was pretty good about this, saying that the top 1% of pensioners were going to get some ungodly amount over their lifetime. But, Jim, while it's great to name them and it's great to bring this out in the open, back when these folks were amassing this, nobody was saying much. Is it the fault of the pensioners or a system that allowed them to accrue those kind of benefits?
It's the fault of the system, which they helped create, because they're lobbyists. And I'm calling you from my home now, and my dog is going nuts, so excuse me for the barking.
We thought it was you.
It's their own fault, because they hired lobbyists to create these huge pension benefits.
Well, I don't think school districts do that. I certainly think unions do.
Unions do, and the teachers, government unions are the culprit.
Well, and also, don't forget, some of the biggest offenders in these pensions are not union members. They're administrators.
Right, and teachers, again, Steve...
Well, I'm talking about school administrators, not just teachers.
You have to be a teacher.
And Steve Rauschenberger pointed out that teachers put more money into their Illinois pensions than they do in any other state. So,
they live to be 85. Their average contribution is only 2 to 3%. Mm-hmm. And that's minuscule. It's practically nothing. And that's why the system is broke. They need to be putting in 10, 20% for these multi-million-dollar pension plans.
And Jim, let's just clarify that. You're saying 2 to 3% of the total compensation?
Yeah, that's right. For example, this fellow, I'm not naming his name, but if he lives to be 85, he retired at 55 from District 300, he'll get $8,016,000, 2.2% of which was his contribution. That's all.
And one of the nice things about transparency nowadays, obviously Jim's website lists these, but you can go to a site like For the Good of Illinois and you can actually see how much people have paid into their pensions and what they're going to receive.
Or you can go to openthebooks.com. And
Open the Books is from For the Good of Illinois, okay. So thank you.
This guy I'm just talking about contributed $179,000.
That's a pretty good return on investment.
He collected $2 million. His age of retirement was 55. If he lives to be 85, which is his average life expectancy, he'll collect $8 million. And, $179,000 was his contribution for getting back $8 million if he lives to be 85 years of age, which is average life expectancy for someone in his mid-50s. So that's the problem. You can't expect to be pulling down multi-million dollar pensions. They're all getting anyone who's been on a school or a county city for 30 years or more, they're all pension millionaires. They're getting between $2 million and $12 million pension payout here in Illinois by the time they're 85. And they're putting in typically between 2 and 4%.
It's important to know, too.
That's why the system is broke. It's ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely. But to be fair, Jim, only, 20? I have to go back to a column. Only 25% of teachers make it to 30 years. It's a very difficult profession. And if a teacher makes it that long...
No, it's not a difficult profession. I taught for 20 years myself.
Oh, my God.
If you're good at it, it's easy.
It is not an easy gig to stand in front of people 5 days a week and try to get through to them with no parental support. Jim, I'm going to have to completely disagree with you there. We've all had frustrating teachers.
5 days a week for 8 months a year. Come on.
Yeah, but it's from the day minute you wake up until the minute you go to bed for a lot of these teachers.
Well, so, and join the real world. That's what my job is. I'm still working.
So
Jeff, I already worked 8 hours, and I come here and spend an hour with you.
I still say teaching is
exceeding. Few of the taxpayers in this country get pensions anymore in the private sector. But all of these people do in the government sector. They're all getting these $1 million pension payouts. And if they've only worked 10 years, then they may only get a $1 million pension payout.
Hey, Jim,
change the rules. It's a lot tougher now
for new hires.
New hires,
but there's a lot of people that were hired before 2010.
In Illinois, if you're hired in Illinois now, you are qualified immediately for a pension, and if you retire with a full pension, you can get only up to $100,000 a year in pension. Now, that's a statute that can be changed any old time they want, In the meantime, they're hiring all these new employees, incurring additional unfunded liabilities that we can't afford to pay as taxpayers. And they're capping them at $100,000 and calling it reform. That's hogwash. What they need to do is stop handing out benefits, I mean pension benefits, defined pension benefits to new government hires. Put them in 401Ks and Social Security like those of us in the
Hey, Jim, have any other states gone to a defined contribution system?
None have. They're all BSing the public that they're reforming the system, and they're not. They're all continuing, adding on more and more unfunded liabilities. We have millions of retired bureaucrats collecting trillions of dollars to do absolutely nothing. They're retiring in their 40s, 50s, and early 60s. There are millions of them collecting trillions to do nothing. That's one of the reasons why our economy is going nowhere. And every year we're adding more and more and more.
Well, it certainly is a problem in Illinois. There's no doubt about it.
It's a problem all over the country, but most so in Illinois and California.
So what's the real answer? I mean, Illinois isn't doing anything about it, Joe.
Well, the answer is to make these people pay 10 points more out of their salaries for their benefits, for their pension benefits. Make them pay half of their health care premiums. Make all the employees and the retirees pay half of their health care premiums. That would save $230 billion over 35 years. No one's talking about reforming the health care boondoggles for government employees, just the pensions. We need to make these people work till they're 67 or 68 like we do in the private sector and before they get pensions, and they shouldn't be getting defined. Well, the ones who are already in the system should be getting their pension payouts, but they should be paying more than 2-3%. They should pay 10 points more out of their salaries immediately, just like in Wisconsin 2 years ago when Governor Walker made them pay 10 points more out of their salaries for their own pensions and health care benefits, and as a result, Wisconsin is cutting their income tax $750 million.
So other than Wisconsin, are there any other states that have gone with something like that?
Pardon?
Other than Wisconsin, are there any other states out there that have gone with something like that where, you know, the employees make a bigger bigger contribution to that?
Yeah, there are. And Rhode Island is doing something like that, and a few other states. But Wisconsin, as far as I know, has done the most radical reform. But even Governor Walker himself admits it's not enough. It really isn't. It's just a step in the right direction.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, Illinois has a provision in the Constitution not to diminish, compensation.
Right.
What is your opinion?
I'm saying let them pay out the $1 million pension benefits, but make them pay 10 more points out of their salaries. And make them pay half their health care premiums.
Okay, so you think that upping the contribution would not affect the diminished part?
No, if they start paying 10 or 20% of their benefits, then they'll get the benefits, but they'll just be paying 10, 20% instead of 2 or 3%. They don't want to pay any more because they just want to get the $1 million pension benefits, retire in their 50s, and live the life of Riley on the backs of Illinois taxpayers. They're a greedy bunch of people, and their unions that they support created this mess. Well, they created this mess for the government employees.
Now, I'm going to blame the unions because I think that they've been inherently dishonest in the negotiation and with the union members. I think that they've told the union members something that is entirely not true and not plausible. It's unsustainable. So I'm gonna stick with, you know, the actual union leadership on this. But there's another person that's been part of our show in the past and mentioned, why not give it to the unions? You know, get the government out of the retirement business, and if the unions want to fund an annuity or something, something similar, let them do it and let them determine how much it's going to cost and what the benefits are going to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Great idea. They'd be out of business within a year or two. I don't think that's not sustainable for them either.
So false promises and false hope is something that sells, huh?
And Jim, while there's...
No, private firms can't do that anymore. Very few private firms provide pensions, defined benefit pensions. All of us in the private sector, almost all of us, are on 401Ks and relying on Social Security. And by the way, the average Social Security average Social Security pension for taxpayers is $15,100 a year. That's what we get from the government for our pension, whereas these government employees get $1 million pension payouts. They all get between $2 million and $12 million if they've been on board 30 years, every one of them.
And it's at $15,000 even after putting in 13% of your income, because
well,
we can't forget that the we – All workers actually are paying the employer contribution too, because they would be reimbursed more if that wasn't the case.
And Jim, while this is Jeff, while I've had certainly taken unions to task, I do, even in reading some of your stuff online, going back, I love, you know, the tax revolt in Chicago in 1977, property tax revolt. But don't we have to be careful about painting with too broad a brush? As a columnist, I covered Kane County fairly thoroughly for 8 years. And there are some great employees in Kane County government that I would not characterize as greedy. Most of them don't even last long enough to get their pension. And we've been blessed with some decent folks. So while I think you're right, especially some school administrators, really, if they last 30 years, it is incredible what they end up getting. But I want to be careful about painting with a little too broad a brush in this case.
Well, as we speak, there are already over 10,000 retired Illinois government employees pulling over $100,000 a year in pension, and I think that's criminal. There's not one of them worth $100,000.
Right, but let's be fair.
Let alone 10,000 of them.
And I said that. I said that.
By the time 2018 comes around, there'll be 25,000 of them pulling over $100,000 in annual pensions just in the state pension funds alone.
And I said in my columns that nobody deserves a six-figure pension. Nobody, not even the president. But 10,000 employees out of how many? It's kind of like the folks on the road. You have to be smart.
Well, what is there, 50,000 state employees currently?
But currently, it doesn't answer the question. I wonder how many retired state employees there are total, because not everybody gets a six-figure pension by any stretch.
There's plenty of people who only work a couple years.
Right.
But again, those people aren't going to be vested for getting a $100,000 pension.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. To be fair, there is this hardcore political cronies who we have to do something about.
And we also have to look at, in the past, you know, when, you know, 20 years ago, when a teacher only made $15,000 a year, mm-hmm. that's not the person that's breaking
remember,
the bank.
Teachers are an entirely different fund, too, by the way.
Correct. They're one of the five pension funds. Right. But look at someone that's retiring today that, you know, if the current average, you know, the average pay of a current retiree is something over $70,000. So yeah. It's much higher than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Oh, it is a problem. I just want to be careful that we – not everybody who works for the government, and Jim, to be honest, as I've said, I'm one of them, and I'll never get a pension. I won't last long enough. Not everyone gets a pension.
I don't think of them as working for the government. They're government employees or drones, but that's just my point of view as a tax fighter, and I've been running across these people for 30 years. The New York Times came in with a really great analysis of the Chicago government school system, and according to the New York Times, the average teacher pension in Chicago for those teachers who had 30 years or more,
which is very few, but go ahead,
is, again, is not very, it's retiring at the age of 52 years of age. The average pension is $78,000 for teachers in Chicago who had that job for 30 years or more.
But how many?
6 months a year. And $78,000 annual pension, and that doesn't even include the health care, the Cadillac health care premium benefits.
But how many teachers, Chicago teachers, make it to 30 years? I would bet it's even less than the 24.
Yeah, but Jeff, you forget. The same year I retire, 24 years from now, or I'm supposed to retire, those people are going to be making $150,000 in pension. Even if it's only one. Even if it's only one.
Well, not the new ones. The new ones, they've come
well,
up
well,
the kind
if
of
that
budget.
Person was retiring today at $70-some
yeah,
thousand dollars. And
Chicago, Alan, is
when I actually retire and go for my $15,000 Social Security, which will probably be gone by then. I'm sure it's bankrupt by then. That person with the current compounded COLA will be at $150,000.
And Chicago, again, is a whole other ball of wax. Chicago, they appoint their school board members. My God, that's insane. That Chicago is the only municipality in Illinois that appoints their school board members.
Hey, Jim, we're going to wrap up real soon here, but I want you also have been pretty successful in fighting referendums, you know, basically referendums to increase taxes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we've defeated 198 property tax increase referendums since 1977. We defeated 80% of those we opposed. We also got rid of defeated 200 home rule referenda, including repealing home rule earlier this year in Westmont, Illinois. So,
and can you talk a little bit about what home rule is?
Referendums.
Jim, can you talk about what home rule is?
Oh, home rule. We call that home ruin. It sounds nice, like apple pie, but it removes the city from the municipality from the property tax cap, so they can raise property taxes without a referendum. And it allows them to tax anything without a referendum, whereas if they don't have home rule, they have to go to a referendum to issue bonds.
And doesn't it also allow them to go into debt?
Yeah, issuing bonds without a referendum. That's why some of these local cities have gone virtually bankrupt.
Yeah, the Tribune has done an ongoing series.
And the Tribune hit the nail on the head in the first one of that series. It showed that they were all home rule municipalities abusing their bonding privileges.
So would you advise... So
have to be paid off with property tax increases.
And big cities are automatically home rule, but let's say a lot of our listeners live in smaller villages and such, and if they were underneath that statutory amount of people, do you recommend they vote for or against a home rule referendum?
Well, they're always opposed to it, and if you're in a big city and want to get rid of it, put a referendum on the ballot to repeal home rule like they did in Rockford and Westmont and Lombard and Villa Park. You can repeal home rule with a binding tax cut, a mini Proposition 13, by collecting signatures to put it on the ballot. But if you have a referendum on the ballot here next March in Kane County or wherever, and you need our help beating down a tax increase referendum, just give us a call at least a month or two before the election. That's our specialty.
And Jim, where can people find you?
Yeah, before we go to break, Jim.
TaxpayersUnited.org. That's our website. The phone is 312-427-5128, and the web is taxpayersunited.org. And we did an analysis of Kane and Kendall County March 12, 2013. You can see the top 400 or 500 pensions, names, and amounts right there.
That sounds interesting. I'll look that up and put that on my website, Jim.
Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Yeah, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for the
take care, sir.
And this is Left, Right, and You on WRNM. We're going to go to break.
RMN.
WRMN. I'll do that in my radio voice. And I also want to tell people, I apologize that phone line was kind of bad, but Jim is an interesting guest.
Yes.
So I want to apologize to our listeners who are used to, expect a certain kind of sound quality here. And so I apologize for that. But we're going to go to break on AM 1410. We'll be right back.